Be reading this day from Matthew 14. Last three Sundays, we've read parables from Matthew 13. And since that time, two other things have happened. We find out that Jesus was rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. And then he has just heard the news about the beheading of John the Baptist, his cousin. And that leads us into this next story. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. In our August church newsletter, which was just emailed out on Thursday this past week, my article reflected on the question, what is progressive Christianity? We obviously reflect on that all the time. But after mentioning that there is no one definition, I referred to a bullet point list that's found in our church brochure, which you can find at the information table in the narthex or online. And the first two of the 7 points listed are particularly applicable and in play with today's gospel reading. Matthew's version of the story known as the feeding of the 5,000, which occurs in all four Gospels. Point one describes progressive Christianity. Willingness to question tradition, including orthodox understandings of church doctrine and biblical interpretation. Second point, respect of intellectual integrity, including the use of the latest in biblical and scientific knowledge and understanding. Well, these 2 points alone provide guidance for those who cannot accept miracle stories in the Bible on a literal level. And that includes many, if not most, here at College Hill. Progressive Christianity, however, does not give us permission to dismiss those stories or ignore them. Even the most progressive of biblical scholars and interpreters would agree that just because something didn't actually happen doesn't mean that it doesn't contain elements of truth. So that's our job. In other words, any story can point beyond itself to reveal a deeper spiritual meaning and a practical reality. So instead of getting bogged down in a pointless debate over whether 5,000 people were fed by just five loaves of bread and two fish, and notice that in Matthew's version, it says 5,000 men plus women and children. If you want to assume that most of the guys were married and had one child along with them, that's over 15,000 people fed. But then we can concentrate then instead on the many themes that are presented in this text. And I want to focus today on how this familiar story can inform and shape our own response to those in need. And I'm going to do so, uncharacteristically of me,
in 3 points. In fact, this is, to my knowledge, my first attempt at an age-old method of a 3-point sermon plus illustrations. We'll see how it goes. Notice how the story begins. After just learning about the violent beheading of his cousin John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. And who among us, in times of deep sorrow and grief, haven't wanted to simply withdraw and go away by ourselves for a while? But Jesus won't be allowed to sit with his loss. When the crowds learned of Jesus' departure, they followed him on foot along the shore. And since they won't leave him alone, what does Jesus do? Well, he went ashore to engage the crowd. And why? Because, quote, he had compassion for them. I'm not too sure that many of us wouldn't have just kept sailing away. Jill Duffield, editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, provides a very helpful commentary on this passage. It was released just this week, and she writes, in stark contrast to our usual human response, rather than resent the intrusion or grow frustrated with their unwillingness to give him even a brief respite, Jesus has compassion for them. Even in Jesus' own depleted state, he sees their need, their desperation, their loss and grief, and he has compassion. And in perhaps it is even in his own pain that he acutely feels the pain of all those who surround him. It's important to note, therefore, that Jesus had more than just a feeling of compassion for those in need. Compassion, in the biblical sense, which literally means to suffer with, leads to the next step by putting our concern for people in need into action, by actually doing something to minister to their needs. This is lesson one for those of us who call ourselves followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus. When we are faced with the mind-boggling hurts of humanity, our own deepest griefs, heaviest burdens, and greatest fears, we should not be moved to self-protection, but instead open our hearts to the pain that we see in the world. Don't look away or run away. Instead, go ashore into the chaos, armed with vulnerability and compassion. And sometimes even we leverage our hurts for the good of others. Perhaps that's where we find the moving of the Spirit. And I'm reminded of something I learned back in seminary in preparation to be a pastor. Interruptions to your daily plans and schedules aren't a distraction from your ministry, they are your ministry. Lesson one, don't withdraw, go ashore. How can we apply this mantra to our church life? How can you apply that to your own life? Well, next, when it becomes late after a day of healing ministry, the disciples come to Jesus and offer a very practical solution to the predicament that they were facing. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. We would probably have come up with the same practical solution. It's certainly the easiest way out of a predicament. Send people away to fend for themselves. As Presbyterians, we know that it is our go-to plan to be practical. But practical, we learn, can mask distancing ourselves from others while contending that we are deeply invested. This is an incredibly common response when the poor and or homeless knock on church doors. It's easier and indeed more practical to simply tell those in need to call 211 or to go to that other church down the block or to say there's really nothing that we can do. This is something I face here at the church every week. And it's then that I recall Jesus' words to the disciples in this story, and this is true. You give them something. So my current practice is to give a $25 gift card to Warehouse Market, taken from our pastoral assistance line item in our budget, which you may recall we doubled from last year's budget now to $2,000. That can help a lot of people. But yet again, we learn that Jesus' ways are different from our own. When our urge is to send people away, Jesus commands us to gather them in. Jesus said to the disciples, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." This is a profound shift in responsibility. Lesson number two. When we, knowing people have a pressing and real need, have the urge to send them elsewhere to get it met, we should instead call them closer and meet it. Consider what this might mean in our congregations, our city, our country. Just think about all the times we have capitulated to our urge to send people away. Now consider that Jesus tells us to instead bring them closer. Lesson two, don't send away, gather them closer. How can we apply this mantra to our church life? How can you apply this to your life? And next, the disciples respond, again, probably as you and I would, how in the world can 12 of us feed this multitude of thousands? We simply don't have enough resources. And to prove their point, they show Jesus all that they have combined, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we often overlook Jesus' profound response. Bring them here to me. What happens next? Well, commence the miracle. Blessed, broken, distributed enough. No more than enough. Baskets left over. But this is by far the hardest lesson. Handing over to Jesus our meager resources to be blessed, broken, and used in ways that we can't even imagine. It's hard because we don't want to let go of our loaves and fishes. Because we're hungry too. And clearly there's not enough. And if we give it all up, we won't have anything to eat ourselves. You know, charity begins at home. God helps those who help themselves. And you know what? Jesus never said those things. Instead, he states, "Bring them here to me." That's the heart of lesson three, the hardest lesson of all. Yes, we can leverage our pain to extend compassion and empathy. We can reach out to others, even when we are sorely in need ourselves. And we can sometimes move beyond the practical and step out in faith, particularly for the short term. But handing over all that we have for the sake of the realm of God, for the sake of the needs of others that will not stop, that's tough. But that is what Jesus tells us to do. All we have to do is to watch the news if we want to see countless examples of hardship, need, and tragedy all around us, locally and globally. Goodness, there was a small tornado that touched down here in Tulsa just last night. We are moved with compassion. We genuinely want to help. Lessons 1 and 2, complete. But then we step back and realize that it isn't practical to think that we can do much. Look, Jesus, all we have here are a few loaves and a few fish. What are they among thousands and thousands of people? Well, that's our all too common response in acting out what is called a theology of scarcity. Yet this biblical story and so many others call us to respond out of a theology of abundance, but of God's abundance. A theology of abundance is accentuated in this biblical story with the observation that even after all ate their fill, there were still leftovers. And it recognizes that with our limited resources, God can use even the little we have to minister in powerful ways to others, most often in ways we don't even see or realize. Jesus says, "Bring me all you have." Can we complete lesson 3 and hand over to him our loaves, our fish, whatever we have that might bring relief? But that might include our voice, our vote, our advocacy, our dollars, our prayers. Lesson 3, don't hold back. Hand over to God. This very day, let's squelch our urge to send people away and instead call them closer. This very day, let's gather whatever we happen to have and say, "Jesus, God, take it," and commence the miracle. The 3 lessons, the 3 mantras. Don't withdraw, go ashore. Don't send away, gather them in. And don't hold back, hand over to God. Amen.